Welcome back to Coast AM. We're going to take your phone calls with Shepard and Bellis. I'm going to have him talk a little bit about his movie Shade, though, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Shepard, tell us a little bit about Shade, your motion picture, before we take calls, would you?
Yeah, well, you know, everyone can go to the website shadethemotionpicture.com. That's where you can purchase your hard copy of the film, which is absolutely important. We know that Obama wants to have a internet kill switch, and pretty soon they're just going to kill all information to us, probably shut down everything, take over every radio station with these FEMA boxes that are hooked to them. I mean, who knows what will happen, but having a hard copy of this thing is important. But one part that I wanted to mention about this film, Shade, is that we cover in it is Bill Gates. In February of 2010, he was at the TED Talks, and he was in front of a big crowd of people, and he nonchalantly advocated human depopulation. He has this formula, which he pulled up on screen in front of everyone, and essentially he was showing how to innovate carbon emissions to zero. So this formula included, you know, the number of people that there are on the planet, the number of services each person is using, the amount of carbon emissions that they're, you know, emitting, supposedly. And according to Bill Gates, basically the only way to reach zero is to eliminate people from the equation. So that was his thing. So he nonchalantly comes in and just advocates eliminating people. And, you know, this is the thing, though, this carbon dioxide, it's essentially a life-giving gas. I mean, it's what trees and plants breathe, and then they produce oxygen. They filter out all these pollutants out of the environment. And then you got these people like Mr. Ozone, Al Gore, and all their cap-and-trade scams, their carbon tax scams, where they plan to tax corporations and people for their carbon emissions. I guess they're just trying to punish everyone for living. This is the point that these globalists are at. You got people like Ted Turner, who are also advocating depopulation, who's also in Shade. We got clips of him talking about how he wants to decrease the population of the planet Earth by 2 billion. You know, although he's the largest landowner in the U.S. and has 5 kids, you know, he says he's put 50,000 bison that were about ready to go extinct on this land, but he doesn't see the importance of the survival of the human race. This is the almighty quest of the oligarch. It's basically to define people as subhumans. I mean, we're just peons, I guess you would say. Prince Philip.
What's the reaction to the film?
Oh, it's had an amazing reaction, George. I mean, this thing covers everything from, it is what it is. Look, the concept of shade, not only is it talking about the shade that covers our skies now, blocking all the sunlight, these chemtrails, it's kind of talking about the shady agenda of the elite.
That's what it was.
It covers an overarching, this film is literally, in my opinion, and I've got this from a lot of other people, it covers everything from A to Z, and it does it in such a way that the average person can now understand the overarching agenda that's truly going on. So where before things were kind of compartmentalized and people researched certain areas of this and that, this is, in 90 minutes, it's going to give you a rundown of what is truly happening. It's actually, I just watched it again today, and it honestly kind of blew my mind. You know, I haven't seen it in a while. And
how can people see it?
Well, you can view it online on YouTube for free in low quality. You can just search Shade the Motion Picture. But most importantly, and like I said earlier, and I recommend this, go to shadethemotionpicture.com, purchase your hard copy DVD, and then once you view this thing, hand it around, pass it around to your friends, your family. get this information out, because they are trying to suppress this type of information. I mean, they think that we're a subspecies. Prince Philip came out and said that the human population has reached plague proportions. I mean, they want us dead. They want the gods and the clods. They want to separate these classes. You know, they basically want to run us into the ground in neo-feudal serfdom, and they want to reign over everyone. You know, like Webster Tarpley says in the film, if there are not enough hats, then the answer is to cut off more heads. This is the ideology of the oligarchy. This is how the oligarchy thinks. They're basically Hitlers on steroids, these people. Jeez. And they seek to control every facet of your life. They want to micromanage every single part of your life, every single aspect. They want to control everything, the way you license your cars. You got to have a marriage license to be married. These are some of the things Jordan Maxwell was talking about. Every single thing, the state controls you. The state owns you, technically.
And you got to pay for that license, too, by the way.
Yeah. So they're profiteering off of anything and everything they can. It's like the new Obamacare thing. It's essentially a big tax scam. I mean, not to mention there's probably depopulation agendas tucked away into that. You're not going to get the medical care that you truly deserve. And everything's kind of just backwards from what it should be. I mean, Jordan Maxwell also pointed this out. Knowledge is power. And this is why so many people are powerless, because they have no knowledge.
So, that's so true. Hey, let's take some calls here, Shep, okay?
Sure.
They're lining up here for you. Dennis in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Dennis, you're up with us. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Yeah, as I was listening to the early part of the interview, I was putting two and two together, and the gentleman's comments just confirm basically what this all is about. You have a population that is growing, and the majority of the population that is growing is poor, poor working class. You combine that with the severe economic crash that is going to happen, and what you have here basically is a threat to the rule of the status quo. So what better way covertly to reduce the population is by having all of these sprays and all of these, saturating the environment with all these, you know, with all these sprays, all of these chemicals, which is giving rise to all of these weird illnesses. Plus, and on top of this, you reduce the amount of trees, which also helps in cleansing the environment, which makes all of these sprays more acute within people. So you know, when you combine all of this, you know, it's just a way of just depopulation. It's just depopulating the earth with all of these quote-unquote troubled sources, which are people, troubled sources toward the status quo. I mean, they did this early on in the late 1940s with the chemical and biological warfare experiments on the people, which was going on up until the 90s. Well, as you know, from what I'm hearing now, it's going on until today, but in a different form.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, George and to the caller, yeah. I mean, during the Cold War, and this is in the film as well, they came out, and this is a proven fact, the U.S. Army came out, and in St. Louis and other cities.
Where I am right now. They tested right over St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, they put sprayers on buildings and on station wagons, and they were spraying radioactive particles out onto the population, and they said they were testing smoke screens, you know, for the Cold War. Essentially, you know, they couldn't get anyone to say, hey, I want to breathe these radioactive particles. Sure, just test it on me. So they're just sitting there conducting these tests on the population. You know, you also have these big corporations. They're putting chemicals in your toothpaste, in your, I mean, just everything that we eat now is deadly, pretty much. I mean, it goes on and on. And Henry Kissinger came out, he talked about this in his National Security Memorandum 200, which was almost like a blueprint for these globalists to follow, because Henry Kissinger said, you know, here's how it's going to be, here's how the population is going to be at this time. And he was accurate almost to the T. And then he talked about it in there, how there's going to be a need for depopulation because the human population is going to reach great proportions. But this is the ideology of the oligarchy. Back in Greece, ancient Greece, they already thought, you know, the oligarchs back then thought that the world was overpopulated 3,000 years ago. This is something they've always, you know, it's always, they want to remain in control. Just like the caller said, we're a threat to these people because we outnumber them. We're the 99%. They're the 1%. So, of course, we're a threat. You know, they want to be able to more easily control humans. They want to control, like I said, every aspect of our life. That's what these oligarchs seek to do. They seek power. They want to keep us fed up watching these Hollywood actors on TV, watching sports, Lady Gaga, these rock stars. I mean, the whole nine yards, everything is designed to just keep us.
Well, I've always said sports was developed to keep people under control.
Yeah, we even have to question things like modern religion and some of this stuff. I mean, a lot of times this stuff is used in a very mischievous way, and this all kind of came about for years and years now, and they've been working up to it. Now they've basically got us, like I said, in a box. I mean, pretty soon we're going to physically be in a box. They're going to have us in 10 by 10 cells, and just like Alex Jones termed coined the term prison planet, it's what it's going to be. I mean, you're going to live in a 10 by 10 box, maybe even like a 6 by 6 box. If they could do it like that, they'd probably like to do it, and you're just going to come out for your work day like a little slave, like a good little slave. And then you're going to go back to your box, and that's going to be it. And that's only going to be the remainder of the population that's left, you know, the 30% of us that are left.
Next up, we go to Marie in Athens, Georgia. Marie, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm so glad you brought this subject up because I've been noticing it where I live. It'll be a gorgeous blue day. I mean, the sky would be just as blue, and it'll be early in the morning. And they will start flying. They go straight up. They go straight up in the sky and leave these trails. And it just uglies up the sky, and it doesn't. It just makes me wonder what in the world they're doing. And also, there's one more thing. I don't understand why they would want to do this. It's their sky and their air, and it's the trees. If the rich are like Bill Gates and all the rest, Ted Turner's, why would they want to hurt the air and the soil? It's theirs too. Their children's and their children's children's. So I'm concerned. Where do they live?
See, I don't think some of these players, Shepard, are contributing directly to that for that specific purpose. I don't even think they know what's going on.
You know, it's like it's almost like a byproduct of their greed, right? Like, so it's direct and indirect. There are people who are directly knowing what they're doing. They know they're depopulating us. But then there's all these indirect byproducts of these experiments. I guess it's like with anything, you know, you're driving. Well, I was in California a couple of weeks ago, and I'm walking down the road, and there's people like jogging down the road and whatnot, exercising, and all these cars are driving by, and I'm just breathing in these exhaust fumes, and you know, there's cars driving by that are just basically laying a smoke screen. Well, we all drive cars and we all walk around our city, but you're basically breathing in all these chemicals because, you know, that's where technology's put us right now. We're not all driving electric cars right now. And so I guess the byproduct of driving cars is essentially depopulation. So it's all, you know, greed, experimental technology, not thinking ahead, not thinking. See, these globalists, if they were smart, they'd be thinking about our futures, how to not poison us, how we're going to eat all organic food, how we're going to do everything right. But they can't, because it's the nature of an oligarch. It's the nature of a globalist, and it's basically embedded in their DNA, and that's all they know.
David's in Ontario, Canada. David, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi. Sounds like everything old is new again. There are a couple of things I'd like to mention. One is fiat banking. You were talking about the housing crisis before. You know that in order to loan you $1 million, the bank only has to have 10% of that in reserve. So they only need to have $100,000 if they want to loan you a million. Where do they get the $1 million from? Well, they just write it into your account. Sure, records are being kept, but it's pretty much creating money out of thin air. So the bank takes back not only interest, but millions that they've created for free. And not many people know that this is how the banking is done. Now, my question to you as American, okay, is the problem appears to be federal. Now, the United States is held together by an arrangement or an agreement with the 50 states. What is to say the 50 states secede, not depend on Washington for, number one, for money, which is coming from a private bank, the Federal Reserve, number two, depending on the military, and as far as military goes locally, local police forces have been getting federal military vehicles. It's not as if you're beholden to this anymore. I mean, I like the idea of the movie, but it's more scary than it is offering an alternative, and there are plenty of really wonderful alternatives.
Right. Well, you know what? That is a focus of Shade. In the end, we chose to end it with solutions and things you can do because we wanted to end it on a positive note and how everyone can kind of come together. And essentially, you know, a lot of these things are these suggestions toward the end of the movie are things like you know, it's up to the individual to take action at this point, because these people in the corporation of the United States of America that are running this country right now, they're not going to take this action. So we have to take this action. So it's up to people. You know, people can do what I did. They can start going on YouTube, making videos. They can start their own website, like IntelliHub.com. They can try and get this information out. You know, it truly is an information war, and that's what we're actually talking about and dealing with here, is because a lot of people, you know, they don't see this bigger picture. You know, maybe they're too busy in their lives. They don't understand a lot of the stuff that's going on, and we need to educate. We need to communicate with one another. This is important stuff. Just simple communication with your neighbor, with your family, with other people is going to, you know, get this information out and start to change the world. Because if we take action, then these people can't hide behind the shadows anymore. They can't continue to operate with impunity. Jordan Maxwell was telling a story how basically people during the Tiananmen Square uprising and stuff, they were passing these tapes around. These cassette tapes, and the government wasn't real keen on this. They thought people were passing around music and all this stuff, but on these cassette tapes, it had a lot of this information. It had a lot of this communication, and something so simple as grabbing like a hard copy DVD like this, which shows this overarching agenda and then does offer solutions, talking about how people can take action. See,
hold on for a second, Shep. We'll be right back. We'll wrap things up in final calls. Back with Shepard Embellus as we talk about his work and his new motion picture, Shade. When you finally decided to put the picture together, Shepard, what was the catalyst? What got you going to do it?
Well, essentially, basically, you know, learning all this stuff, learning how these oligarchs have been oppressing us for years, all these sinister programs they've got going on, and I just literally just couldn't take it anymore. And we did want to offer solutions, and you know, I couldn't agree with the last caller more. I mean, so much of this awakening and learning this information, George, it's all gloom and doom, you know. But what can we do? You know, we've basically been conditioned to lay down, but as Anthony Hilder says in the film, we need to stand up. We need to speak up. We need to speak out, George. America is a great place. We need to rise above the oligarchs, rise above the oppressors. We need to demand our freedom. We can't just sit here and marinate while the globalists take over. We need to be proactive. Communication and education, this is a must. Just communicating with one another, like I said, simple communication. We need to use our critical thinking skills. We need to help and support local businesses, the small guy. Support the alternative media. Support Coast to Coast AM. Support IntelliHub.com. Go to ShadeTheMotionPicture.com. Buy your hard copy DVD. Share it with everyone. This is the kind of stuff that's going to turn this thing around. Because none of us are really doing this. We're watching all this Hollywood propaganda. This stuff is designed to just keep us with our heads down while they're trampling all over us, taking away our freedoms every step of the way. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. With every single presidency, they're pushing the same agenda, whether it's left, whether it's right, whether they just switch it back and forth. Well, this time it's going to be Democrat. This time it's going to be Republican. They all are two peas of the same pod, two wings of the same bird. You know, that's why you have a left wing and a right wing. It's two wings of the same bird. That's all. You know, when Jordan Maxwell, myself and Jason Burmes met up with Jordan Maxwell to interview him for the film, and he's an interesting character. Basically we were following him in a car to this diner, his favorite diner, and we were going to talk with him before we did the filming. And he was speeding through the town. I barely could keep up with him. We get to the diner, and he just unloads this whole wealth of information on us and just really tells us that there's a far higher, bigger picture. Nothing in the world works the way you think it does. And it even opened my mind up further and further. And it allowed me to, exercise my critical thinking skills and really come to a general consensus of what's going on and how all this is working. You know, he talked about how the presidential elections, we don't select our leaders, we elect our leaders. And, when you go to the polls, people talk about going to the polls. There's this company, Gallup, they conduct polls. Mm-hmm. All this is, sure, is a general consensus. So when you're going to the polls to vote, you're just forming a general consensus for the company, the corporation of the United States of America, which is Washington, D.C., the 10 miles that surround it there. This is the corporation of the United States, and there has to be a president of this corporation. And they want a general consensus from the public. It's like, do you like root beer or do you like Coca-Cola? What's your general consensus? So when the oligarchy in Washington, D.C., finds out what the people like through polling, through your vote, then, we don't actually decide that. This goes to an electoral college after that, and they decide the outcome of the presidency. We have no choice. They're simply just getting our opinion on what we like so that they know the kind of puppet that they need to put into the office for that term to basically kind of keep us all happy, keep us all with our heads down while they continue the same agenda over and over and over.
Okay, to the phones we go. Final calls here. We go to Bremerton, Washington. Steve's turn. Steve, you're up with us. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. I've been documenting the chemtrails up here in the Pacific Northwest for over a year, and they're really easily distinguished from vapor trails because they don't evaporate within a half mile to a mile after the aircraft pass. They all have a corkscrew trail to them that develop into a very large cross-section cloud. And I've got aircraft that have flown over our area five and six at a time flying crisscross patterns. And sometimes they just blocked out the entire sun with the heavy cloud layer.
Mm-hmm.
They're real easy to do. They do the same thing as, but I flew the aircraft like you were stationed with DC-28 in Vietnam, the P-3A Rams, and we used water alcohol for high-performance takeoffs and for hot days to condense the air coming into the intake, and they adjusted in just ahead of the compressor.
Jeez.
And it allows more air to be packed into it, and when it comes out as a vapor trail. What they're doing is injecting the chemicals into it instead of the water alcohol, and they're putting out the chemicals into the clouds.
Do you think the pilot knows what's going on, Steve?
Oh, yes. Yes.
They
it's
do.
All, it's all mechanically controlled. They turn it on and turn it off. Everybody in the aircraft knows what's going on because they have to have these huge tanks inside the aircraft that then they have to switch it on to inject the chemicals into the compressor stages of the jet engine. Sometimes they use one engine, sometimes they use two.
Let me ask Shepard this. Shepard, is this a worldwide situation or are we just doing it?
Absolutely, it's worldwide. Governments throughout the entire world are conducting these experiments. And, you know, essentially is what it's doing is, you know, there. I mean, it goes beyond all this. It even gets into profiteering. I mean, on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, they're trading weather derivatives. So, you know, anyone with any inclination or money can go and hire a weather modification company. And Rosalind Peterson was talking about this. They can, you know, go and have, say, snowfall generated over a certain area of the United States. You know, if you were truly a multimillionaire or billionaire, you could have snowfall generated over certain parts of the United States, certain areas, and you could already have essentially bet in the futures market through the Chicago Mercantile Stock Exchange on weather derivatives and make a killing. You could make a bundle of money. So, you know, not only are there all these experiments and programs and testing and things relating to HARP, like I was talking about, and militarized applications, there's the profiteering and greed aspect of this weather modification. And is what it's doing is it's changing our weather patterns. I mean, everyone knows that the weather is just more insane than it's ever been. There's these basically hurricanes that are coming across land now. These storms are just immense. These cold spells, they call them the polar vortex. All of a sudden there's polar vortexes coming over and just blanketing the United States with absolutely frigid conditions and snow. There's drought. California, you know, now they're getting dumped with rain and mudslides, and they're just almost like getting wiped out over there. But before that, you know, it's full-on drought. So is what they can achieve.
Worse than 1,200 years, Shepard.
Yeah, and then they go ahead and they charge you for using too much water, and it gets into more of the control structure, and you know, like Al DeChico points out in the film, basically micromanaging every single facet and aspect of our life, and it's just this ongoing consortium, this ongoing thing that's just going to keep going and going. So they don't, in a lot of cases, they know what they're doing. In a lot of cases, they're still experimenting, and it's mm-hmm. just a worldwide operation.
Let's go to Ryan in the state of Washington. Welcome to the program, Ryan.
Hey, guys, I'll keep this brief. My grandpa was a Marine Corps, World War II. He was at Iwo Jima, made away, mm-hmm. but he worked in the South Pacific during the Bikini Atoll experiments during the early mid-50s. And I was wondering if any of the material of these chemtrails could actually advance or make some of the, if hydrogen warheads were exploded in our atmosphere, God forbid, could that actually advance or do even more devastating repercussions upon the atmosphere or the planet? And I'll take my question off the line, guys. You have a good night.
All right, Ryan, thanks. How bad can it get, Shepard?
Well, you know, yeah, definitely this stuff. I mean, they're like Michael Murphy said, they're literally shredding our ozone layer. So, you know, this, they say they're managing our solar radiation. It's called SRM in their documents, all these documents that pertain to geoengineering. Oh, it's solar radiation management. It's good for us. We can't be hit with solar radiation like the Earth has been for millions and millions of years. We can't just live in the natural environment, and Mother Earth doesn't just take care of itself. Now we have to have someone manage the amount of solar radiation intake that we get. And then, like I said, this leads to lack of vitamin D and all this stuff, and these trees dying, and the whole nine yards. So, you know, it's like, I think it's like a kid being curious about something. A lot of these geoengineers and scientists, they're just, they want and they seek godlike power. And that's what they're doing. They're just acting as if they were gods now, because our technology is to that point. Whether they destroy the whole civilization as a byproduct of this, you know, we'll never know. I mean, it'll probably be destroyed, you know, before we even know what's going on. But that's why a lot of this gets into, like what I was saying, just we need to communicate with one another, pass this information on, use our critical thinking skills, because if we do that, we got to remember that these people that are doing this, they're only like the 1%, and they're, you know, certain organizations, these 1% have formed these bodies like the UN, like the World Health Organization. These are essentially, if you can imagine how unions work, that it's kind of what they've done. They form these like union-like bodies, and it allows them to operate with impunity over certain nations, certain people that are part of the United Nations, you know, X amount of numbers of countries in the world, you know, like 180 some odd countries are part of this body, and they're abiding by these things. But all in all, it goes up to the top of the pyramid. It's just a couple certain key people that decided to start these bodies and implement them. It's not like the population of the world and all of us citizenry decided, hey, let's start the UN. We really got to have this thing watching over us and just micromanaging us. You know, this is their plan, and we got to learn how to step outside of it.
We sure do. Let's go to Helen now in Antioch, California. Hello, Helen, go ahead.
Hello, George, and is it Christopher?
Shepherd.
Okay, Mr. Shepherd, thank you so much. Yes, I live in East Contra Costa County in Brentwood, California, mm-hmm. and we have seen released in the air since I was a child. I live in an agricultural community here, and which is more and more taken over by houses, but green gas released by helicopter, and I'm not sure if by plane as well, at night since I was a kid. And in our area, they have released an article in the Contra Costa Times warning that children under age 2 not drink our water, and other warnings about fish containing mercury and some other things. But I live by a bunch of refineries that are constantly spewing out stuff, lots of chemicals day and night. And I used to live by the DuPont, which spewed out stuff all the time, but it's really affected our bodies because I've had lab work done, and I can't absorb vitamin D, potassium. I'm always low in.
Well, you need all that. You need to get all that in there. There are some areas in the country, Shepherd, that are critically bad, aren't there?
Oh yeah, and basically, you know, with the industrial age came all these things. I mean, they got pesticides. They're going around. I mean, I've seen them go around driving these trucks around. It's on video. We've done articles on this where they just have these sprayers on the back of trucks, and they're just driving by kids riding their bicycles in neighborhoods spraying for mosquitoes and stuff like this. I mean, it's absolutely insane. It's almost insane that people use pesticides and they go put these Monsanto chemicals on their lawn, which they think are going to weed and feed their lawn and all this stuff. I mean, whatever happened to just letting Mother Earth be Mother Earth?
Well, that's true. Let's go to Leo now in Montreal. Leo, go for it.
All right. I had a question. Actually, I wanted to mention my opinion here is that United Meditation, if people got together and did, for example, like a meditation chain of a million people in shifts, for example, that we're capable through that proven science that we're able to change molecular size particles to whatever we want. If we were able to do, we're capable of doing this, and I want to see what you thought about that. I believe that's really the answer to this whole thing. They can't control that, and the government's you know, have admitted that they're extremely scared of that type of thing.
Oh, they sure are. We have a minute left, Shepard. Go ahead.
Well, I believe, you know, the caller is kind of referring to raising our vibration, raising our consciousness. And these people that hide behind the shadows in the dark, they can't handle that type of vibration. They can't handle that white light, you know. And, you know, the caller is probably right to some extent. You know, if we start raising our vibration, our consciousness on this planet, it'll probably drive these people right out of the dark. They probably won't be able to handle it.
Perhaps not. Get out your website, if you would, Shepard.
IntelliHub.com is my news website. You can go there for all your daily news and information. And don't forget to go to ShadeTheMotionPicture.com. Peruse the website. Buy the DVD. Get your hard copy before Obama hits the kill switch on the internet and you can't watch it on YouTube anymore. And pass it around. Give it to all your friends. It's very important.
Shepard, thanks for being on the program. Really appreciate it. Shepard Embellis. Website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.